Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. This is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast, and it is my honor and pleasure to be able to be talking with New York Times bestselling author and pastor Max Lucado. We're talking about his new book, Help Is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is one person that we love to talk about here on Charisma because he is moving. There is revival happening in around the world, but in our lives as well. And so, Max, it's great to have you here to talk about the Holy Spirit and how help truly is here.
Well, it's a great honor, John. And just hearing you say he is moving, revival is happening, brings a joy to my heart because I agree. And I'm longing to see revival come even in our own before long. I'm just waiting and praying that a new era will happen in our day and age.
Amen. You know, as I was preparing to have this conversation with you, I came across a message that you did recently, actually by this title, you recorded in 2019, talking about 2020 and how it was going to be a phenomenal, a very life-changing year. And I don't think you realized how much that was a true statement, but you were focused on how the gospel was going out and the Holy Spirit was taking the gospel out to these different people groups, and you're excited to see the gospel go to all over the world. And we know that the Holy Spirit is vital in getting the gospel out there. Can you just talk a little bit about how important the Holy Spirit is for the gospel and getting that to the ends of the earth?
Well, the Holy Spirit is the executor of God's will on earth today. The Holy Spirit convinces and convicts. The Holy Spirit equips the church with spiritual gifts and power. The Holy Spirit is the midwife for salvation, overseeing the entire conversion process, taking us from the old life into the new. The Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Holy Scripture to reveal teachings to us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit sheds a spotlight on Jesus Christ. But outside of that, the Holy Spirit is not very important. The Holy Spirit is everything. We could go on and on, but the Holy Spirit is everything. If anything is happening in the life of a believer, fruits of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit, or if we see any conversions, if any sermon is effective, if anybody has a spiritual discipline, it's all because of the Holy Spirit. He is everything. Yeah.
Now, I know you've taught about the Holy Spirit, you've preached about the Holy Spirit, and you've written some about the Holy Spirit, but this is really your first book that is dedicated and focused completely on the Holy Spirit. Why did you feel the need to write this book?
I could give a real long answer or a real short answer. I'm going to try the short one, and then if you need me to unpack it some,
I will. All right, well, let's do it.
Okay, so John, I became a Christian as a young person at about the age of 10, but about the age of 13 or 14 or 15, somewhere along the line, I became convinced that I couldn't be a Christian. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop believing in God. I just stopped believing in myself. Hmm. Everything the pastor said I would try to do, but I just couldn't do it. And looking back now, I realize I was operating out of my own strength and not God's. But nobody taught me that. I grew up in a particular stream of the Christian faith that spoke very little about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so about the age of 15 or 16, I became a disciple of Coors more than a disciple of Christ.
Coors, and that lasted, the beer company.
Coors, the beer, yeah. Okay. I was a heavy drinker, heavy partier. And I just kind of threw in the towel when it came to faith. There was an evangelist who came to our little West Texas town. This would have been about 1973, and he was from the Jesus movement. We will remember that. It's one of the great revivals that our country has enjoyed. He was a hippie, and he stood on top of a school bus and he would preach with a megaphone. And I was intrigued. He gave everybody an opportunity to go to home Bible study groups, and I went. And there I was asked, do you have the Holy Spirit? And I didn't know. I didn't know the answer. And they said, would you like to pray in tongues? And I said, sure, I'll do anything. I mean, I was really kind of desperate. Nothing happened. And so I just chalked that up to yet another failure, another spiritual failure on my part. It would be another 3 or 4 years, John, before I went back with any regularity to church. And I was blessed to attend a church that had a pastor who had a heart for jerks like me. And he convinced me that God could forgive me. And that put me on a path to become a preacher, first a missionary. We talked about Brazil before the call because I lived in Brazil. I was a missionary in Rio de Janeiro. And then I came back to the States in 1988, and I've been a pastor at the same church ever since. Now, I'll say all that to say, if you can get burnout as a 14 or 15-year-old, you can really get burnout as a 33 or 34-year-old. As a pastor, I was trying to do everything myself.
I
still did not have an understanding of relying and depending upon the Holy Spirit. And so I developed a terrible case of insomnia. I could not sleep. Had three small kids, two of whom were in diapers. My wife, I wasn't paying much attention to her. I was trying to be a superstar pastor. And so I, and when I couldn't sleep, John, I would get up in the middle of the night, and I'd go downstairs into my study, and I'd pray. And it, and I sometimes think those were the most heartfelt prayers of my life. They're more of groans than they were prayers. And little by little, I began to sense the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I began to understand what it means to have an advocate. The grayness left the sky, blueness returned. I felt some spring in my step. We enjoyed some miracles at our church. My preaching seemed to take on more of a fire, kind of a fire to it.
Okay.
And that's when I realized this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping me. And that inaugurated me to a journey of the Holy Spirit that I have thoroughly enjoyed ever since. And only in the last 10 years did I think I need to try to capture what I've learned. I've written many books in my life, but I'd never written one about the Holy Spirit because I thought, well, so much good is already written. What can I contribute? But then I found an access to understanding the Holy Spirit through the different metaphors of the Holy Spirit, fire, wind, oil, just the different metaphors of the Holy Spirit. And that just brought my understanding of him to a whole new level. And so that's when I said, okay, I'm going to take that and turn it into a book. I told you that would be a real long answer. I tried to
I like that it. Answer, though. That's good. That's good. You talk about metaphors of the Holy Spirit. And I think the Bible uses metaphors so many times just to help us understand things that our feeble human minds just can't comprehend. You mentioned oil, fire, water, wind. What really sticks out to you from that? And do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think a couple of answers here. One of them would be the Holy Spirit as a gift giver. That his assignment is to distribute gifts according to his will that advance his cause. I love the image of the Holy Spirit as the one who says, okay, in the region where John lives, in the generation where John serves, there will need to be a person who has the gift of, and fill in the blank, or the gift mix of, and several gifts. And so you are ordained to live where you live, and you are equipped with certain spiritual gifts. That, to me, takes the randomness out of life. I believe that we are placed in each generation on purpose and that we are sent into that generation with certain gifts. I believe that these gifts are sometimes personality strengths like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit.
Sure.
I believe that some of these gifts are practical capabilities like administration or hospitality. Some are more compassionate gifts like mercy understanding and wisdom. And then some are more supernatural gifts like praying in a heavenly language or healing or even discernment can be that level if you're discerning the presence of demonic presences.
Right, right.
And all of these, John, are working together to create a body of people through whom Christ can reveal himself for the goal of bringing more people into the eternal kingdom. So I think gift giver is the one that I think is it's just, I'm intrigued by that assignment of the Spirit.
I love how you describe that, because you focused in at the beginning on there's a purpose for the Holy Spirit and there's a plan for the Holy Spirit giving gifts.
Yeah.
And it's not just a random thing. There is a purpose for it. And God has the gifts for the receivers, the ones that he wants us to have, because he understands the greater purpose than we ever could. And, yeah. You know, what I believe Paul says that it would be good if we desire to have all the gifts, you know.
Yeah,
like that's an important thing, because God can give more gifts, and that's a great thing. We're not limited to just a one-time thing.
Absolutely. That's why Paul says, earnestly desire the gifts mm-hmm. of the Spirit. Why would he tell us to earnestly desire the gifts if all the gifts ordained for me had been given the day I became a believer? So those gifts are given throughout our lifetime.
Yeah. Now, Max, I know that, you know, in the Christian denominations out there, some are favorable to the Holy Spirit and some are cessationists, and they believe that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit happened once and it doesn't happen anymore. Can you speak to that? And how do you really answer the person that's asking, is the Holy Spirit really for me?
Yeah. I think two or three thoughts. I think that there has been an unfortunate divide in the body of Christ over the ongoing gifts of the Holy Spirit. For the first few years of my ministry, I believed and taught that the more demonstrative, it maybe would be a word, more demonstrative gifts of the Spirit were intended only to launch the church, and they were discontinued after the church was established and scriptures were available, and that only the apostles could distribute these gifts. And once the apostles were gone, then the gifts were gone. I taught that. I do not believe that. But I taught that. So I know, I understand that line of reasoning well.
Yeah.
My mind began to change when I was actually serving as a missionary in Brazil, and especially in my early years when I was experiencing the Holy Spirit as a pastor. I began to wonder, where does a New Testament author ever write or declare that certain gifts will cease upon the completion of Scripture? I couldn't find that. I found scriptures urging me to earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I also found a scripture not forbidding speaking in tongues, so forbid it, you know. And also, what about the belief that only the apostles could distribute the gifts, and at their deaths, the miracles were discontinued? Again, there's no direct statement to that effect. Non-apostles like Ananias was blessing the apostle Paul, or Saul at that point, with the Spirit. And if only the apostles could distribute the gifts, why did the apostles, some of them, stay in Jerusalem? You'd think they would have all gone to as many places around the world as they could. But no, the gifts were distributed as the Holy Spirit decided. And then lastly, more mundane gifts, I use that in quotation marks, by the way, mundane gifts, because no gift is really mundane. But comparatively, you know, the gift of hospitality or the gift of leadership? Why would we say that gift has continued when the gift of speaking or praying in a heavenly language has not continued? So all of those things did not quite add up. And so somewhere in my early 30s, mid 30s, I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. What you gave to the church in the first century, I'm going to believe that you have given and continue to give to the church to this day. I think I do think it was an unfortunate and continues to be an unfortunate argument. Is that a good word? But sure. I think we're getting somewhere past that, and we're learning to, even if there's disagreement, to disagree more agreeably. But I'm praying that we need all the help we can get. We need all the help we can get to do the work that we've been given to do. And so, Holy Spirit, give us every gift that you ordain for us.
Yeah, I know that they say that there's no atheists in foxholes, and I agree from the standpoint of being on the mission field, because I was a missionary for 8 years. You believe in the power of the Holy Spirit when you see it, especially on the mission field. And so I just know that the power of the Holy Spirit operating in my life has been so vital for my survival, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And I couldn't operate without the Holy Spirit. I know that. So, you know, he truly is my helper. Yeah. And even whenever I wasn't strong enough for myself to even, I was dealing with burnout, which you kind of mentioned already. But my season of burnout, I couldn't even bring myself to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I relied on clicking on my phone and listening to the audio Bible just to get the word of God in me. And the Holy Spirit started massaging and bringing things back to life that I had allowed to become dormant or to die off. And I know part of something that you talk about in this book is, I believe it's the last chapter, you talk about breathing into breath on bones. Mm. Can we talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit really brings life?
You know, there's a statement from Jesus that it really is a summary statement for the Holy Spirit bringing life. In John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. That's a straightforward statement, isn't it? And that's from Jesus.
Yeah.
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. In other words, for the life that we need, it's the Holy Spirit to whom we turn. All the other, the flesh is just my own ability to give myself a pep talk or to give myself direction. We really need the Holy Spirit. Breath on bones, that chapter is really deals with, I think, one of the great pictures, the great prophecies and visions of the Bible, the story of Ezekiel and the Valley of the Bones. If that's not a story that is meant for a movie, maybe somebody can make that into a movie. But those dry bones, those dead bones in the valley. And then God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. And he prophesies over them, and they have this reassemblage. The joints, the bones come back together, and they reflesh themselves. But they're still dead. They're still dead. And so the prophecy that the prophet is told to prophesy again, and he prophesies, and then breath comes into the lungs. And this is the promise of God, that he will bring that kind of breath into that which is dead. Now, this happens when we are converted individually. It happens as we mature spiritually. We continue to receive the breath of the Holy Spirit within us. I believe it's also a prophecy of what will happen in the millennial kingdom, when Israel reoccupies its God-given covenant-based land, and we'll see the dead rise up again, and we'll all inhabit that land. But this is all the role of the Holy Spirit, and this is the desire of God. Think about this. Every person you see either has the Holy Spirit or does not. Every person does. And every person you see walking down the street is either full of the potential of life of God, or they're dead. They're spiritually dead. Mm-hmm. Really, God, as he looks down upon us or looks around at us from his perspective, that's what he sees. And every person who has the Spirit is a tool of his to reach out to those who do not. So really, our desire is simply to invite people to trust in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, who will equip us to serve with Christ throughout the eternal kingdom.
Amen. You know, with that eternal kingdom, you know, I'm sure we are all going to be operating in the gifts to, at 100%, at full capacity. To what does that look like, though? Like, if you're going to write about this and tell a story about what it is, like, people are really, like, a whole society just operating in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, what would that look like?
Well, can you imagine yourself? Well, let me come at it from this angle. Oh, I wish I had that quote with me, so I'll butcher it, but if you'll forgive me.
Well, forgive you already.
You remember Johnny Erickson Tada, who has ministered to people with handicaps her entire life. She herself, wheelchair bound, since I believe the age of 14 or 15, she broke her neck diving and has spent her entire life in a wheelchair and has ministered to countless millions of people around the world. So she wrote a book on heaven. And she, in that book, described what she is most looking forward to. I would have assumed that she would be most looking forward to her new body. I am. I'm looking forward to my new body. A perfect body, as was ordained for all of us before time. But she said, no, what she's really looking forward to is a mind that thinks like the mind of Christ. She said, can you, again, I'm butchering this, forgive me, Johnny, but something like, can you imagine a mind that has no anxiety, no bitterness, no regrets, no judgmentalism, no hostilities, all these things that clutter up and poison our thought process. Can you imagine a mind like the mind of Christ? And ever since I read her book and then read that quote, it's really, I've imagined, what will it be like in the new kingdom, John, where every person you see, every person you meet, every encounter you have with any being, there will be absolutely no hint of any self-promotion, no racism, no jealousy, no lust, no greed, nothing. That's what the new kingdom will be. I think that's what's going to make heaven heavenly. I'm really excited about the new creation, really excited about the new body. But I'm really excited about living in a society of people in the Garden of Eden, as God intended, where we will all think in the way we were intended to think.
Wow. You know, if we're thinking the way that God intended us to, and we are supposed to have the mind of Christ, you know, we do have the mind of Christ. We just got to actually receive it and walk in that and actually let him be the one that's leading our thoughts. You know, I just don't want to miss this opportunity right now to ask you if you would pray for our listeners, just for the peace of the Holy Spirit, and that they would truly have the mind of Christ. So would you please honor us with just praying for that Holy Spirit peace?
No, I'll be happy to. I will. And let me also say, if any of you have felt like you're unworthy of the Holy Spirit, maybe you feel like I felt as a young man, like I've disappointed God and I'm not as qualified to receive the Holy Spirit as someone else. Can I disavow you of that? Can I unburden you of that? You are made worthy because Christ took your place. He died on the cross. When you say yes to him, then you become a worthy vessel. Not because of anything you've done, but because of everything he did. So when you say yes to him, then you can become worthy of receiving the Holy Spirit. Again, not because of what you've done, but because he took your place. So when Christ sees you And when God sees you, God sees Christ. He has been your substitute. So now you can receive the Holy Spirit and learn to walk with him and follow him. So Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege of asking you to strengthen your listeners today, your church, those who are listening, with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Please have mercy upon us, Father. We have struggled so much in life. Many of us have fallen short. We do not, serve like we want to or think like we want to, but we believe you're not finished with us and you're doing a great and powerful work. And we believe in that work and we trust you today. Please have mercy. Have mercy upon those who have struggled, who have fallen, who have disqualified themselves. I pray that they would, Heavenly Father, trust you and your work and not depend on their own. Let there be a new day come, a fresh day, new winds. Please, Heavenly Father, as you have promised to do, would you blow breath on bones, cause us to rise from the dead and march in the glory of the kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Max, thank you so much for praying for our listeners here. I know that I'm blessed, and I know the listeners are going to be blessed whenever and wherever they're listening to this. And I just want to encourage people to check out Max's new book, Help is Here, Finding Fresh Strength and Purpose in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Max is just such an amazing author, and he's been a blessing to the kingdom of God for so many years. And his books have ministered to millions and millions of people. And so to hear what he has to say about the Holy Spirit and to be able to connect with people that way, I just want to encourage everybody to go out and get the book. You can get it wherever books are sold and definitely through his website, maxlucado.com. Max, is there anything that you want to say before we wrap up here? It's been an honor and a pleasure to be able to talk with you, but I just want to make sure that you have the last word.
Oh, it's my privilege. Oh, you're kind. No, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks so much. And appreciate very much this opportunity just excited to continue this journey until Christ comes or till we all go home.
Amen. Amen. Well, Max, thank you so much for spending some time with us to talk about Help is Here, the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And it's been an honor to be able to talk with you. Thank you so much.
All the best.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.